The reading this evening is John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17 on the wonderfully helpful screen, page 1083 in your Bibles. Find that. A truly great reading. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Amen.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for your prayer, Luke. Having parented Beth, Paul and I do indeed pray for the people of Coventry. I shall probably pay for that later, won't I? Okay, do keep your Bibles open, 1083, John 15. I wonder if any of these questions are ones you have asked. How do I know I'm a Christian? How can I make sure I continue in the Christian faith? What am I called to do and to be as a Christian? What is the purpose of the Christian life? I've become a Christian, but what now? And this passage today speaks into these questions. I am the true vine, says Jesus in verse 1, and again in verse 5, I am the vine. This is the final I am saying in John's Gospel. We've looked at all seven of them across this term. And there are a couple of things that are different about this one. It's the only one with an additional statement: I'm the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And in almost all the other I am sayings, there's been an invitation to come to Jesus, to follow him, to believe in him, to enter through him. We had, I am the bread of life, he who comes to me, dot, dot, dot. I am the way, the truth, and the life, come to the Father through me, in John 14. But here in this I am saying. There's a focus on those who've already come. And we have this instruction to remain. Just to recap, remember that in using the phrase, I am, Jesus is using the name for God, and he's taking it on himself, stating clearly that he is God. And there is much opposition. And right now, that opposition is really closing in, because at this point, Jesus is teaching his disciples as they are on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. In this chapter and the next two, Jesus is cramming in the teaching that he wants to impart to his disciples, because he knows what awaits him. He prays for his followers, and at the beginning of chapter 18, he is arrested on the night before Good Friday when he would die. Before we jump into this passage, it's probably helpful to know a little bit about the background of the imagery of the vine. In the Old Testament, the vine was a common picture for the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. Isaiah 5, for example, is one example. It's a picture of God and his people and the vine's failure to produce good fruit. And so the threat of God's judgment, despite all that God had provided for them, land, a special relationship with him, prophets to warn them, they are an unfaithful and false people. And their disobedience has destroyed the vine of Israel. By contrast, Jesus is the true vine. That's the point he's making. He is the one who will bring forth good fruit. He is the one to whom Israel pointed. No longer is Israel the key place for God's people or God's blessing or the way in which the nations of the world would be reached. This is now located with Jesus and those who are in him, faithful people, branches on the true vine. So for the disciples listening in and for those who knew their scriptures, Jesus describing himself as the true vine was significant, and it was full of layers of meaning about who he was. Now, Sian said this is a great passage, as it is, but there's quite a lot in it, and it's quite tough, I thought. So we're going to look at it under two headings, and the first heading is that bearing fruit is key. And then the second heading, just so you know where we're going, is four keys to bearing fruit. So there you are. You'll get the gist, won't you? Bearing fruit is key. The phrase bear fruit is here seven times in this passage. Verse 8 says, "It's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Verse 16, Jesus says, "I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." The mark of being a follower of Jesus is to bear fruit. He has chosen us for this purpose. We see that Jesus also is called to bear fruit, with his Father acting as the gardener to make sure he's as fruitful as possible. And that makes sense, because Jesus doesn't call us to be or do what is not his experience too. If you think about a vine or any fruit tree, its purpose, its name, and its identity are tied up in its ability to produce fruit. If an apple tree doesn't produce apples, it shouldn't really be called an apple tree, and it isn't really an apple tree. So in the same way, to be a follower of Jesus is to produce fruit. If we're a Christian, then there must be some measure of fruit in our lives. The alternative is dead wood. I found myself asking the question, what is that fruit? How do I know if my life is producing fruit? Verse 8 tells us that fruit bearing will bring glory to God. By your fruit, you will show yourself to be a disciple of Jesus. And it's interesting to see how this fruit bearing is tied up in the creation account in Genesis. There, both in the plants and the trees and in humankind, Our bearing fruit is part of God's purpose from creation. Jesus talks about our calling. It's not just about yours and my sins being forgiven, our being saved for eternal life, as important as those things are. It's about lives that are fruitful and productive in fulfilling God's purposes. So fruit is this image for all that's good that comes from the life of a follower of Jesus, particularly in terms of benefiting the lives of those around us and advancing God's work in the world. Bearing fruit is about being a changed character, or the fruit of the Spirit that we think of, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. But in this context, it's more than that. The criticism of Israel in the Old Testament was in the nation's failure to walk with God and to be a blessing to the world. So this is the fruitfulness of Jesus' followers. It's not just about our own relationship with the Lord, but that through this true vine, through this new wine, there is a renewal of the outreach and mission of Israel through the Messiah and a new community, of which, folks, we are a part. To bear fruit is to take God's salvation out there into our world in many and varied ways, so that God is glorified and lives are changed and his kingdom grows. So it might mean some of these things: being bold enough to tell others about Jesus, truly following Jesus, studying his word so that we know how he lived, that we might live the same way. Taking seriously all those things that hold us back in our Christian lives, the sin that so easily entangles. It means thinking about what we can do to benefit the lives of those around us. That might be making a difference to someone's life practically by providing a meal or just listening to them. It means being conscious of the witness of St. Nick's in the community, a witness that softens people's hearts towards the good news of Jesus, not make them kind of raise their eyes in disdain. It means making sure our faith and our lives match up as individuals and as a church community, that when people hear we are Christians, it causes them food for thought rather than a quick dismissal. It may mean working on a cause that is close to your heart, such as modern slavery or human trafficking, or bringing fresh water to more communities across the world. It means looking outwards as well as inwards and never tiring, motivated by God's kingdom and glory. It means whatever you do, whether in word or deed, as Colossians puts it, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So all these things and more are what it means to bear fruit, the kind of fruit that will last, as verse 16 describes it, having eternal consequences. Remember, Jesus is going to be dead within less than 24 hours of speaking these words. He needs his disciples to know that they are the branches reaching out into the world. He is handing on the baton to them. They must know that they are not to sit back enjoying all that Jesus has done for them, but to bear fruit for him. It's this call to keep going, to keep moving, to grow the kingdom. Bearing fruit is key. If you're a Christian, you're called to do more than believe, but to bear fruit. That is how we will show ourselves to be Jesus' disciples. So how could you be bearing fruit over the next week, month, year, 5 years? Okay, so if bearing fruit is key, how do we get there? Here are four keys to bearing fruit that we find in this passage. Now, because I didn't do any slides this evening, I brought some visual aids, because I know visual aids are quite fun sometimes. So this is my first one. Okay, so two implements for the first thing, which is a key to bearing fruit. The first key is pruning. Ouch. I should have got Rosemary to do this bit because she's a gardener. If you're a gardener, this will be a familiar image. Jesus says that God, the heavenly gardener, does two things. He cuts off the branches that don't bear fruit at all. They are good for nothing. So cutting them allows more room for growth for the living branches and more chance for the sunlight to get in. And then he also prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will bear more. The sense of the word pruning here is cleaning. In verse 3, we read that God's word has the effect of cleaning us or pruning us. It strips off all the dead wood, all the bits of us that bear fruit but could bear so much more. It speaks right into our situations. God's word challenges us and changes us and chips away at our rough edges. We hear what the Bible says. We take note of Jesus' teaching and we obey it. God also prunes us to make us more fruitful through the difficult experiences we go through. He uses these to grow us. A period of time when you feel overwhelmed by work and life can lead you to lean on God. A time when things are outside of your control make you trust his control. And then as 2 Corinthians talks of, when we have experienced comfort from God in our troubles, that produces the fruit of using our experience to offer comfort to others. If we are to produce fruit, we have to be pruned. And that can be painful. But being pruned means we will be even more fruitful for God. And we know that the difficult times we experience are not without purpose. So that's the first key. The second key to bearing fruit is remaining, which means remaining in Jesus. And I've chosen my Spanish house for remaining. Don't know if you can see that. The word remain means to stay, to abide, to dwell. So to remain means to stay close to Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus is not just about believing, about starting out on that relationship with Jesus, but about remaining, continuing, maintaining and nurturing that relationship. In the picture of the vine, no branch can bear fruit by itself. If a branch gets separated from a tree, it will not bear fruit. We know that. It needs the connectedness with the root. It can't bear fruit on its own. And so too for us, if we do not remain in Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said in verse 5. That's a warning for us. If we will bear much fruit if we abide, if we stay with Jesus. If we don't, we will be a withered branch, useful for nothing, and simply picked up and thrown into the fire, as verse 6 says. Interestingly, the wood from the vine was good for nothing. It couldn't even be used for burnt sacrifices in the Old Testament law. Its sole purpose seems to be to support the bearing of fruit. There's a stark choice here. Either remain in the vine and bear fruit, or be thrown away and burned. There are ifs, implying some choice. Verse 5 says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. To remain in Jesus is to stay with him. Let him abide with you. Build your home with him. It's to continue to maintain your relationship with him through prayer and Bible reading and walking with God's people. It's to go a long way for him, but no distance from him. To remain in Jesus' love is to obey his commands. In verse 10, we see all that's required of us, what it means for our daily lives in God's word, how we deal with anger, how we speak to people, how we deal with our enemies, how we make sure that we are pure sexually, and we seek to obey. We won't remain in Jesus if we disobey his word. But verse 11 tells us that such obedience brings joy. It may be costly, it may mean giving things up, but an obedience to Jesus, a close walk with him, will bring us joy and freedom. To bear fruit, we must remain in Jesus, keep our relationship with him alive and stay with him. What do you need to do to make sure that that happens? The third key to bearing fruit is praying in Jesus' name. So I brought my phone. It's probably going to fall over. And in a way, that follows on from the remaining, really. Verse 7 says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." And verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." This is about prayer being answered as we remain in Jesus, as we make sure that his words remain in us, as we become closer to Jesus, as we read the Bible, our hearts will be in tune with his heart. We will know much more how to pray that is in line with what the Bible says and so is in accordance with his will, and so likely to be answered. We'll learn about and want what he wants. Prayer is crucial for bearing fruit. We pray that fruit into being. We pray for all that we do as a church. Please come and join us at Encounter on Tuesday evening. We need to pray for the fruit of our labour. We need to pray for fruit that will last. We need to pray for those we know who don't yet know Jesus. "Apart from me," says Jesus, "you can do nothing." Prayer is to acknowledge this, that we totally depend on God for any fruit to grow. I've loved being involved in Alpha this term, and in particular, the prayer that is woven throughout each evening. Begin your day with prayer as a way of making yourself aware that you need God if your day is to go well. It may go well without praying, but it would certainly be more fruitful if you pray for meetings and conversations and how you spend your time. End your day with prayer as you acknowledge your need for forgiveness and that you totally depend on God for your good night's sleep. Pray that your life will bear fruit. Be on the lookout for how God is using you, is calling you, and the things he's laying on your heart. And we're called here to pray in Jesus' name. So the fourth key to bearing fruit is loving, which is kind of verse 12 onwards. I'm going to put my circle of friends on. Great. Verse 12 onwards. Jesus says, "Love each other as I have loved you." If we don't have love, all our attempts at being fruitful will just wither. We are to love as Jesus loved, and the way in which he loves us, and the way he showed his love for us was on the cross of Calvary. He died that death even while we were still sinners, even while we showed no inclination towards him. Jesus' definition here of the greatest love is a love that lays down his life for his friends. And those who obey him are his friends. We are lifted beyond the status of servants to be his friends. He loves us so much that he shares what God is up to. He makes it known to us and uses us to bring God's plans to fruition. He has chosen us, appointed us, called us to go and bear long-lasting fruit. As the life-giving vine, he fills the branches with his life and pushes us out to reach the world. When we realise just how much he loves us, when we grasp something of the fact that we are Jesus' friends, then we will love others with that love, and so we will be great witnesses in our world for him. So, bearing fruit in our Christian lives and in the life of our church is absolutely key. And we will bear that fruit through God's pruning, by remaining in Jesus, through praying in his name, and by loving each other and his world. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the true vine and we are the branches, and we pray that you would help us to stay connected to you, that we would remain in you, that we would allow you to prune our lives, to chip off all our rough edges and make us more like you. We pray that you would call us to be a people of prayer and that we would love one another as we travel, that the world may know of you and see you in us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all these I am sayings that we've had this term, and we pray that through them we would see more of who you are, the bread that satisfies, the light for our dark paths. Lord, we pray that you would help us to see who you are. And in your precious name we pray. Amen.